You're listening to Wellness Wednesdays on West Limerick Community Radio, kindly sponsored by West Limerick Mental Health Association. Now, it gives me great pleasure to be welcoming Helena close to the programme. And I'm talking to Helena today about her latest novel, which is called Things I Know. And Helena has previously written or co-written 7 novels, but this is her second novel for young adults. And I have spent 2 afternoons of my week reading it and finishing it. And it's great to be able to talk to the author. Welcome, Helena. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm very well on this beautiful Friday morning in Limerick. It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. And we have a bank holiday weekend imminent. What could be wrong?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
It's perfect. Helena, as I said, I spent 2 kind of afternoons this week reading Things I Know. And I suppose 2 things struck me about it. It's an incredibly engaging novel, firstly. And secondly, it doesn't shy away from difficult issues, which I really respect and enjoy.
Oh, that's great to hear, Shirley. I love to hear readers' feedback. It's fantastic for a writer, you know, because
yes,
usually we're in our own little bubble working away, and, you know, to hear, you know, the finished product, if you like, being well received is terrific.
It's a good thing, isn't it? You know, because I suppose essentially your novel is living its own independent life out in the world now.
It is. But your second point about the shying away from mental health, I'd be quite honest with you, Shirley. I didn't choose to write about mental health.
Yes.
But I felt I absolutely had to as a writer. My own daughter, and she's given me permission to speak in connection with the novel.
Yes.
My own daughter, age 16, was diagnosed with cancer, and she suffered. She had chemotherapy and, you know, very harsh treatment, and she's well now, but she became very depressed, and we accessed the public mental health system.
Yes.
And I think from that point on, I really became conscious of, number one, what a huge problem we have in this country.
Absolutely.
Mental health, particularly young people, surely.
Particularly young people, yes. But I think across all of the spectrum of ages since
exactly,
the pandemic.
Yeah. And during the pandemic,
yes,
as well.
Yeah.
And the second thing was the meagre services available.
Absolutely.
And I do not blame the staff. The staff, some of the staff are wonderful. They're working under awful circumstances. They're oversubscribed, underfunded, and the whole system is completely archaic and needs to be just overhauled. I think, you know, we've seen that with CAMHS recently, the children's service. And the same is true of the adult service. You know, there's no question about it.
Oh, there's no question. Like, you know, you have terrible stories. Like we covered a story here where a man went to a hospital experiencing suicidal ideation and was given a list of phone numbers and sent away.
Absolutely, Shirley, and this is where we're at with mental health in this country. Blind by Boat Club in 2016 called it out on the Late Late Show, and he was absolutely right.
We shouldn't
have to rely on Blind by.
No,
you know,
but that was 6 years ago, and nothing has changed.
And nothing. It's gotten worse.
Yeah.
In the 1980s, Shirley, 16% of the overall budget for mental health or for health went to mental health.
Yes.
In 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, that had dropped to 6%.
6%. It's alarming. Like it is.
And it's to do with the whole thing of mental health. If people with mental health issues and mental illness were walking around and we could see their wounds and we could
see
their hurt,
exactly it.
The way we can see physical hurt,
yeah,
it would be a completely different story because it would be staring you in the face.
It would be. Or, you know, I've been doing this program. We're chatting, I suppose, in relation to Wellness Wednesday, but I've been doing this program for 36 weeks now, I think it is. And how often I've said to my guests and my spokespeople on the program that, you know, when we see somebody with a broken leg, we understand that there are certain things that they cannot do, that they're unable to do, and that there is a healing process associated with that. So we do not ask them to get up and dance. But when, you know, people talk about depression or anxiety, and, you know, you have people saying, oh, just cheer up or just do cheer it anyway.
Go out, do a bit of exercise.
Yeah, I mean,
join the gym.
It's you know, not as simple as that.
I'm afraid the brain is a lot more complicated than that.
Yes.
You know, it really is.
What I have loved actually about Things I Know is the insight you show us into our main character, Saoirse. You know, we do get an insight into how her brain processes things, which is sometimes, you know, it's sometimes complex, and it's sometimes kind of quite amusing too, isn't it? There's a sense of levity in the novel as well, which I think is very important.
I completely agree, Shirley. And I think for me as a writer, I always feel that a writer, I write in the grey, not in the black and white. So, you know, there's always humour. There's always fun in life, even when things seem miserable.
Yes.
And that's how we experience life ourselves, you know. It's never all just one thing. Oh, you know, so I think that's very important to get that balance right. And there's always hope, Shirley, and I think that's very important.
And
we're a very hopeful species,
we kind of get a sense of that, I think, in the novel as well. You know, I think that the balance, I mean, you know, the novel deals with, I suppose, a group of friends processing one of their members' death by suicide. You know, it is quite dark at times, but as I say, that there are charming moments of levity within it. I love Saoirse's Nana.
Oh, the Nana is... Everybody loves the Nana, Shirley. The Nana is a law unto herself. The Nana is... She's a pure Limerick character, I think, you know?
Yes, so, and her battles with flatulence at the yoga class.
Exactly,
ongoing.
And
relentless.
Her mispronunciation of every medical term, you know?
Or the fact that she thinks this whole mental illness business is all down to that vegetarianism.
It is, it's all down to vegetarianism. And she's trying to be understanding. But her own prejudices keep slipping out, you know.
Oh, she's very well intentioned. Like, I mean, there's a very touching scene where they bring Saoirse to shop for the Deb's dress. You know, like there is an immense sense of love and affection with the character of the Nana. She doesn't understand that she's being, you know, inappropriate in any sense, and that's what makes her so wonderful.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to have that sense of love as well. You know, because. You know, people with mental illnesses are loved by their families, by their friends. Sometimes they can't see that, but I think that's really important for that to come across, you know.
Of course, and the same is true, of course, of Saoirse's relationship with her siblings. You know, we see, I suppose, the complexity there because of the situation, you know, and not giving too much away. But we do see the affection between them as well. And, you know, I suppose the natural sibling relationships where you want to kill them one minute and you're giving them a hug and helping them with their makeup the next.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's a great sense of, I suppose, humanity with the characters. You know, there's a great sense of that there are three-dimensional characters, which I really, really appreciated.
Oh, brilliant. That's great, Shirley. I think rounded characters are very important and, you know, you know, you really have to work at that, I think.
You do, like, because, you know, sometimes you read characters and you understand what the author is trying to do. But I think that it is successful here in the sense that we don't always like all of the characters, but we understand them. And that's the goal, isn't it?
It is, really. It's it. And, you know, again, it's representative, I think, of real life.
Yes.
You know, people are kind and sometimes they're not. And, you know, we're a mixture of everything, really, you know.
That's it. We're different things to different people.
Exactly. And, Yeah, that's it.
Did you spend a long time working on Things I Know?
I did. I can't remember now when I started. I think it was 2018. Was it 2018? Yeah. 2018, maybe late 2018.
Yes.
And I did the first few drafts, found it very difficult to actually write. Now, the characters were great because they came to me. They were brilliant.
They're alive, like, yeah.
They demanded to be included, you know. But I sent it to I sent it to my editor in Little Island, Siobhan Park, an amazing woman.
Yes.
I have to stop fangirling her, though, Shirley. I'm getting really annoying about it. But she's amazing. So she gave me gentle guidance. And when I read her feedback, I said, right, she's absolutely right. She said something that I knew was true in my heart all along.
Yes.
I had kind of buried the real story with another fluffy story, and I needed to whip off the fluffy story and actually engage.
Take off the band-aid and see what's going on. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have a mobile home in Spanish Point in County Clare. So last year I went down literally for 6 months. I came up every now and again to wash my clothes. And I sat below there and I did the biggest rewrite I've ever done in my life and thought I'd never get it finished. I was absolutely, by the end of it, I felt this is the book I actually wanted to write.
You see, that's it. And you know, sometimes it just takes somebody else saying to you, like, are you sure this is what you want? Like, this could be so much better.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. I mean, editors are invaluable and, you know, you just have to, you need to listen to them and don't feel like it's a criticism. It's not. It's a way of improving your work as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, it is, of course. It's a kind of a collaborative process. Like, you know, if you want something to be, I suppose, as well-rounded and as, you know, as complete as this is, it's not just one person's work.
It's not one person's work. And that goes with the backroom staff as well. You know, they're great publishing house to work with. They really are. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And very brave as well, I think, Shirley, you know?
Yeah,
they don't shy away from the tough stories.
I appreciate this because this is a brave novel. Like, it hits, you know, it packs a punch and it hits the ground running, doesn't it?
I hope so. I think I really didn't want to do what I call, and you read it in a lot of books, particularly YA books, and mental health life,
yes.
They're touching it, but they don't really go there because it's not palatable or something.
Yes.
And I really didn't want, I just felt, I mean, I did a lot of research and I spoke to a lot of people and I felt a responsibility to actually do this to the best of my ability and to do it in a real way.
Either do it well or leave it alone.
Or leave it alone and go off and write about something else.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt about it.
Yeah, and you absolutely do. Like, you know, as I say, it is, you know, we get, I suppose, a very empathetic insight into Saoirse's processing, you know, abilities at times, you know, and sometimes those are diminished. Like, there's a particularly touching scene that I'm thinking of towards the middle of the novel where she is trying to ground herself by trying to remember that particular word for the smell of rain after a dry period. Do you remember that? And it's like there's a sense of scrabbling for sanity in a world that doesn't make sense anymore. And she often does that with vocabulary and with collective nouns, you know, which is her way of, I suppose, bringing
and
things
calming
back.
Herself. Yeah, she uses them to kind of calm herself down or to focus herself and anchor herself.
Connect with her mother as well, because that's something that she and her mother used to enjoy doing together, was sharing collective nouns for things, you know.
Exactly,
it's a very touching scene and it's a very human scene, I think. You know, we can really empathise with the person who is trying to find a nugget of sanity in a world that is not making sense. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I completely agree.
You know, it's a powerful novel, and all the better for not shying away from things, for looking at the process of things, and, you know, delving a little bit deeper into, you know, how people feel when things are going wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think all of us as humans at some stage in our life have those feelings.
Yes.
You know, as life throws the curveballs at us and things like that, you know.
The lack of control, like when the wheels come off, what do you do? How do you feel? How do you, you know, how do you kind of try to piece things back together?
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly it, Shirley. You've got a good grasp of the story anyway. I'm delighted about that.
Yeah, no, I just, as I say, I read it over the course. I picked it up one afternoon. I said, I'll take a look at this. And then about 130 pages later, I emerged back out of it and said, I really have to go and do, because I had an appointment. And I read it over the course of two afternoons. And I just, I really appreciate, you know, I really appreciate the I suppose, the humanity of the characters and how easy it is to empathise with them, and the importance of trying to show people, you know, what's happening on the inside, because as we said, you know, mental illness is invisible. We don't see it, and that's probably why sometimes people, you know, like Saoirse's Nana, don't have a very full understanding of what's going on.
It is, and in Nana's time as well, it was taboo. It was something you hid.
Yes.
It was something that was kind of secretive.
Like you'd have people who maybe would have taken to the bed in Nana's time.
They would have taken to the bed, exactly.
Yes. And
it was whispered, something that was whispered, you
yes.
know. So it's really, you know, trying to bring that to another level, I think, and say it's okay. That's in the novel as well, you know, the way they throw around that phrase, it's okay not to be okay.
Yes.
But, you know, let's mean that. Make it okay. Let young people see people, you know, with problems in novels. With
absolutely.
Mental health problems. That's how you process the world when you're reading fiction.
And
you're
when
kind of relating to it, and you're kind of, you know, you're getting a glimpse into another world, you know. And I think it's very important that young people feel represented in fiction, you know.
Absolutely.
And can identify.
And I think this would be an interesting novel, actually, for educators and teachers to read, or for them to read with young people, you know, mm-hmm. in a school context, you know, because it's refreshingly real, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't conceal anything.
Well, we'll see now. It's being launched. It's out on the 5th of May, but it's being launched on the Friday the 13th, Shirley. A lovely day.
Great day for a book launch.
In O'Mahony's in Limerick at 6 p.m. And if anybody's around or in town, if you've come into town, we'd love to see you there.
Fantastic.
So,
I'll remind people again on that date anyway as well, because no, I it struck me as I suppose an important novel. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I found it thought provoking as well, and you know, all of the better, as I say, for that mix of hard hitting reality and absolute levity with the Nana.
Well, I think Nana just still deserves a whole book of her own.
Yeah,
you know?
I was just going to say to you, Nana, when's Nana's book coming out? I want it. I demand it.
No, she's so funny. She's just so, and she wrote herself, Shirley.
You
put Nana in any situation, you know exactly what she's going to say.
Yeah,
you know exactly her take on everything.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like pouring petrol in a bonfire. You know, bringing Nana into it.
She was hilarious. And the other character in it, the guy that used to come in and out of the cafe, Timber Hanley.
Yeah, and again, he's in some ways a minor character, but he's rarely there. But when he's there, he's very much real.
He was based on a guy, a homeless man that used to call to me every Sunday without fail here in Limerick.
Yes.
And he died about 2 years ago. And over the course of years of him calling, I became great friends with him.
Yes.
And I suppose for me personally, it was kind of remembering this man, you know.
Yeah, he's another version of, you know, the mental health spectrum. Like
there's
that beautiful scene where the first music night where he gets up to sing a song. And
exactly,
the song
yeah.
doesn't have words and he's crying, and it's everything and nothing, you know. It's a very powerful scene.
Yeah, and he has addiction issues as well,
mm.
On many levels. So, yeah, and that, you know, this is the whole process, you know, where mental health is concerned. There's so many facets to it, and there's so many different versions of it, if you like, you know.
I love the kind of the touching relationship between himself and Saoirse as well. You know, he always comes in on a Monday, and she always knows exactly what he wants. You know,
yeah.
there's that affection between them, that again, that the shared humanity despite, you know, circumstances or age or whatever. It's lovely.
It is, he was just lovely to write, really, you know. He really was.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's rarely there, but when he is, he sort of leaps off the page, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, he does.
Helena, it has been wonderful chatting, and I can't recommend Things I Know highly enough. As I say, I sat down to have a look at it and read half of it in one sitting. So,
well, that's very refreshing from a writer's point of view, Shirley, and I really appreciate it. And I really, what I'm I'm so delighted this gorgeous Friday morning that you got all the little things in the book. That's very important for me. You know, that you got all the little, less obvious things in the book. Brilliant.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, Alina. I'm sure we'll talk again in the future, but I felt it was important to kind of, I suppose, chat to you about Things I Know today for Wellness Wednesday. You know, if anybody's looking for a book, you know, that isn't a self-help book, but is a book that can be relatable or helpful for either somebody who's trying to understand what a friend is going through or somebody who wants to empathise with, you know, with the character or to understand themselves, it is... fiction is often a lot more helpful than a lot of the self-help books that you find out there, I think.
I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely.
You know, because you can get into the mind of a character. And more importantly, I suppose, by the time you get to the end of the book, you can realise that, you know, if this person has gone through this and is okay, then I will be too. You know, it is possible.
Yeah, and it is, I think, ultimately a book of hope. You know?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the programme, Helena.
Thank you for having me, Shirley. It was lovely to speak to you.
Nothing left for the gods to give. God forgive me, I'm lost again. Here sitting with these thoughts again. Bottles empty when they tempt me. Couple sips and I fell free. Still stand on unsteady legs. A heavy head giving me neck pains. Next day I'll be the same. Jumped in a bottle cause I thought it could sustain. But left nothing behind but bloody red stains. A blank memory in a bad new day. Lost in my ways like so many others. Hand on my heart cause nobody loves us. Scars all around from times I got low. Smile on my face but inside it is cold. That warm embrace you feel is not so. I'd say that I lost it, but I never had hope. There's something in the water, the body of a pauper, the banshees calling with her, I must go. Damn from the start, like so many others. Hand on my heart, cause nobody loves us. Laughter dies down, tears soon follow. When the drink dries up, get drunk from the sorrow. Cry to the birds and the bees and the swallows. Cry cause the earth beneath my feet feels hollow. Cry with the wind when it wails on a morrow. Cry just like cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry to the birds and the bees and the swallows. Cry cause the earth beneath my feet feels hollow. Cry with the wind when it wails on a morrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Damn from the start like so many others. Down on my luck, getting comfy in the gutter. No helping hand ever help me to stand. I'm a wretched man, born bred for the struggle. Catch a break, that'll be the day. The going gets easy, I see no trouble. So wish good fortune on the unfortunate. When it rains and pours, these clouds don't pass. Damn from the start like so many others. Hand on my heart cause nobody loves us. Scars all around from times I got low. Smile on my face but inside is cold. That warm embrace you feel is not so. I'd say that I lost it but I never had hope. There's something in the water, the body of a pauper, the banshees calling with her, I must go. Down from the start like so many others. Hand on my heart cause nobody loves us. Laughter dies down, tears soon follow. When the drink dries up, get drunk from the sorrow. Cry to the birds and the bees and the swallows. Cry cause the earth beneath my feet feels hollow. Cry with the wind when it waves on a morrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry to the birds and the bees and the swallows. Cry cause the earth beneath my feet feels hollow. Cry with the wind when it waves on a morrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow. Cry just that cried and cried tears of sorrow.
You have been listening to Wellness Wednesdays on West Limerick Community Radio, kindly sponsored by West Limerick Mental Health Association. Until next time, take care and be kind to your mind.